All right, everybody, welcome back to the Dylan Gemelli podcast. And today I have an extremely special guest that I'm honored and privileged to have. This, my friends, is legendary comedian Jimmy Dore. Welcome, Jimmy.
Hi, Dylan. Thanks for having me on, buddy.
I appreciate it, man. I really appreciate the time. Okay, everybody, just a quick disclaimer, like I've been giving lately. If you are overly sensitive, highly offended, easily offended, this is not for you. If you want some facts, if you want some fun, if you want some knowledge, you are going to love this more than anything that I've ever done. So I don't have Jimmy too long, so I'm just going to get right to it. So if you're not familiar, Jimmy is one of the funniest comedians that I've ever seen and out there. Absolutely legendary. But he has a extremely strong background in politics. And so I want the opportunity to talk to him today with some of the current things going on and some different opinions that he has that are very strong. So before we get into that, Jimmy, could you just tell everybody why you kind of divulged into politics? What drove you into becoming so aware and so knowledgeable into them?
When I was in high school, I had a class called, I think it was called Current Events. And we didn't have a textbook. We had to read Time Magazine. And that's back when Time Magazine was not as bad as it is now, put it that way. And that's back when we had 50 giant media companies in America instead of six, thanks to Bill Clinton. And the effect of having only six media companies is that the journalists no longer come from blue collar backgrounds. They all come from Ivy League schools, and they're all class loyal. And you don't, and they all know they have to work for one of the few billionaires that run our media. So that's why the news media sucks so bad right now. And people can't get the truth about anything. And they can march us into war after war after war on one pack of lies. You know, people think that the Ukraine war is different than the Iraq war. They're being propagandized, right?
Right.
They think it's any different than 20 years of Afghanistan. They didn't read the Afghanistan papers, which saw it was all a lie. And they knew they were lying all along. Same thing with Libya. Yemen, Somalia, whatever, just pick the war. It's just, and so the reason why they allowed Joe Biden to pull out of Afghanistan, people were patting him on the back for doing that, is because they knew they had this other war lined up, and they had it lined up since 2014 when the United States overthrew a democratically elected government of Ukraine. And that was because they wanted to economically have Ukraine aligned with Europe and the West instead of with Russia. And so, that's what the people don't know. That people don't know the CIA got in bed with the right wing Nazis in Ukraine to overthrow that government. That propaganda film that just got the Academy Award, that was all propaganda. And that guy who made that knows that he presented that information in a propagandistic way. He was there at the Maidan coup in 2014. He knows that it was the right wing Nazis that were shooting at their own people, and they were blaming it on the government. So he knows all that stuff. So that's just, again, that's, but the same thing happened with the White Helmets. So if you know anything about the White Helmets, they also won the Academy Award for a movie about the White Helmets in Syria. And there again, that's just MI6. Those are intelligence operations, right?
Right.
And the White Helmets weren't what they appeared to be. And I've broken all these stories. Well, I've covered all these stories. And I was the first certainly to talk about the Syrian gas attack being a hoax, which is what it was. It was concocted by the people that were trying to overthrow Assad. It wasn't done by Assad. I'm no fan of Assad. You don't have to be, just like I'm no fan of Donald Trump to oppose political prosecutions. So I forget what your question, but how I got started was that class, Time
Right.
Magazine. And I would read Time Magazine, and then I would turn on Tom Brokaw News, and I'm like, hey, he's lying. I know what's going on, and he's leaving out big chunks of what's happening. And that's another way to misinform people. You just tell them, just like what they did with ivermectin. They said, oh, ivermectin's a horse medicine.
Yeah.
Well, it is used on horses, but it's also a Nobel Prize winning human medicine. It's also on the WHO list of essential human medicines. They didn't tell you that part, right? And that's called a lie. Right. So if that's a lie by omission, and that's because they were afraid that ivermectin could actually treat COVID. And if it could, they couldn't get their emergency use authorization for their new mRNA vaccine. And so that's just one of the ways that they lied. And so anyway, so I would read Time Magazine in class as a high schooler. And then I would watch the TV news, and I would hear my dad repeat the propaganda from the TV news. And I'm like, so you don't know anything about this? You don't know anything about what's happening in Nicaragua, but you just hear what's happening on the, from Tom Brokaw, and you think you know it. Tom Brokaw got a medal. He got an award from the War University, from the military. They gave Tom Brokaw. Now, how good of a journalist do you think you are when the war machine gives you a medal?
Fuck.
Now, right? Think about that. Right. So, again, every war, they've lied about every war in my lifetime. They lied about Vietnam through four different presidents. That's what the Pentagon Papers revealed. They lied about Iraq twice. They lied about Libya, Syria, Somalia, Yemen, but Afghanistan for 20 years. But when it comes to Ukraine, I just think they're telling the truth now, Dylan. I don't know what it is. I just think they turned over a new leaf. So Americans are the most Americans are the most propagandized people in the entire world. They have no idea that they are. Yeah. The difference between here people in America and people in China know they're being propagandized. People in the old Soviet Union knew they were watching propaganda when they were supposedly giving the news. But in America, people think that when they turn on Sean Hannity, Rachel Maddow, and Anderson Cooper, that they're somehow getting the news.
Right.
What they're getting is a thing called consent. They are those people are there to manufacture consent. If you ever read the book by Noam Chomsky and Ed Herman, they talk about how this all happened. And that was before they consolidated the media. That was still when there was 50 giant media companies. Now there's only six. So that's when you are watching the news on Fox or CNN or MSNBC or any of the other channels or reading the Washington Post or the New York Times, you are not getting the news. You are getting propaganda from the billionaire class that not only run America, but run the entire planet. So if you know what the WEF is, you probably don't, because they don't ever tell you what the WEF is on MSNBC, CNN or Fox News or the Washington Post. The WEF is the World Economic Forum, and they're all run by billionaires, and they also, the same billionaires that control the WHO, the World Health Organization, now control, and they're the ones who really pull the strings. So when you see a session of Congress, do you really think that those people are in there doing the bidding of workers and senior citizens and students and the disenfranchised? They are there doing the bidding and writing laws and for the donor class, which is the billionaire class that actually runs everything, which is why we can send a couple of $100 billion to Ukraine at the snap of a finger, which is just a money funneling operation to the military industrial complex, while at the same time starving our own people in America. We still don't have bullet trains. We still don't have infrastructure. They won't even fix the bridges that the homeless people are living under. That's how bad you could fix homelessness for $20 billion a year. We don't have mental health facilities. We don't have drug rehab facilities. We don't have any of that stuff since the 80s when Ronald Reagan cleared those out. That there wasn't a homeless problem in America until the 80s. And then Ronald Reagan came in and cut those budgets for those mental hospitals. And they filled our streets with homeless mental patients. Anyways, they still haven't fixed that. And not one politician even brings it up, by the way. Did Joe Biden in his State of the Union bring up, hey, here's my plan to end homelessness? No, nothing. And so they could have fixed it 5-10 times over for the money they just spent on Ukraine, let alone the $1 trillion they spent in Afghanistan, let alone the $1 trillion they spent in Iraq. They could have, think of the things we could have in America. We could have a functioning infrastructure. We could have libraries and schools and community centers. We could have parks and roads and bridges. We could have health care. We could have a decent standard of living. We don't have all that stuff's going out. Senior citizens have to take half their medicine. 50% of Americans can't afford $1,000 emergency. 50% of all wage earners are less than $30,000. This is the hollowing out of America. And then people wonder why they're willing to take a chance and vote for a billionaire jackass game show host like Donald Trump. I was interviewing a guy who was a Waffle House cook and from Virginia in 2016. And he said that him and his friends were voting for Trump. And I'm like, why do you think Donald Trump cares about you? He goes, Jimmy, we all know Donald Trump's a loudmouth Yankee. He should have had his ass kicked a long time ago. But he's offering us something. And, and Hillary Clinton came in and promised to shut down our coal mines and give us nothing. So we're desperate. And so that's what's happening. People are voting for Donald Trump out of desperation, not because they're fascists or white supremacists, or they hate their neighbor, or they want to overthrow the government. They're desperate. Both parties have let these people down. Even on MSNBC, they just admitted it the other day. They brought on these guys who wrote a book calling how real rural Americans are the problem because they vote for Donald Trump, who doesn't care about them. And they even admitted, well, the reason why is they vote is because both parties have let them down and they're pissed off and they have a right to be. And so nobody will tell you that about Donald Trump voters, that both parties have let them down. They've been pissed off and they're voting for a guy who they see as an outsider. And he is an outsider to the donor class. The donor class hates Donald Trump, which is why the Republican Party and the Democratic Party is allowing these political prosecutions to happen. You're not supposed to. In 2020, everybody was screaming at the top of their lungs that Donald Trump is going to prosecute his political enemies. That's exactly what they're doing to him. Uh-huh. And they're not only doing it to him, they're doing it to black socialists. They're doing it to the people who are opposing Stop Cop City, the expansion of the police state in Atlanta. They use the same RICO statute and the same grand jury that they used to indict Donald Trump. They used to indict the people protesting the expansion of the police state in Atlanta, Stop Cop City. And if you can't see what the game is being played, it's not just happening in America. It's an international billionaire class that is controlling things. It's the same people who criminalized Imran Khan, who was the leader in Pakistan. Why? Because he stood up and said, the people of Pakistan don't want war. We want peace. And we're no longer going along with these NATO wars. They admittedly may turn him into a criminal and they put him in prison. Same thing that happened in Brazil. They put Lula. Lula was too far left for the billionaire class. So they put him in prison. In Brazil, by the way, Brazil, the biggest country besides the United States, the most powerful country in the Western Hemisphere besides the United States, the most important one. They right. put Lula in prison because he was too far left for them, and they thought the center right guy was going to win. But then the far right guy, Bolsonaro, which is the Trump of Brazil, he won. And so then they're like, oh, what are we going to do? How do we fix this? They had to let Lula back out of prison because he's the only one who could beat Bolsonaro. He beat Bolsonaro. And what did they do? They immediately criminalized Bolsonaro so he can never run for president again. The same thing they're doing here to Donald Trump and his January 6th movement. If you believe that January 6th was some kind of insurrection, you have to then believe that a bunch of Second Amendment gun nuts showed up at the Capitol to overthrow the government. And son of a bitch, they forgot their guns. Okay, of course, now we know there was hundreds and hundreds of agent provocateurs, meaning FBI agents and Capitol Police and DC police that were embedded in the crowd, dressed as MAGA, and they incited that crowd, the people who did go into and were violent, they incited them, and then the cops let the rest of them in, they gave them tours. And we have Nancy Pelosi on a hidden video, Nancy Pelosi's daughter, who was there that day, on a hidden video saying, we have to try these people in D.C. because if they tried these people, January 6th people, in any other jurisdiction, they wouldn't be convicted. Right. And they weren't committing an insurrection. She said, what did they do? An insurrection is you have a plan. You have guns. They had no plans. They were a bunch of guys in pajama bottoms and buffalo helmets who were just pissed off about an election they thought got stolen from them. And mm-hmm. apparently it's okay when the other half of the country says that Russia stole an election and they say the president who got elected is illegitimate for 4 straight years, but you're not allowed to do that if you go against the establishment. So this is the world we're living in right now. The United States is the banana republic. The United States people are the most propagandized people in the world. And now this is the result of it. You get 90% of Americans have medical debt. Half that we don't have functioning infrastructure. We got homeless people and they want this. And we have an open border. And why is that border there? That border is there because they want you to come in and they want as many illegal immigrants in our country to suppress wages. That's exactly what they're doing. And they're doing it right now. Cat Williams was on Joe Rogan a week or two ago. Yep. And he talked about how they're giving debit cards to illegal aliens for $1,000 a month. Fuck. And he says, and they're giving them housing. And they're doing it right in the face of homeless veterans and homeless Americans that they have no care about. And Cat Williams said, it's like they're going, see what we could be doing for you? And we're not. So they'll do that. They'll send billions of dollars, hundreds of billions to Ukraine. They won't invest in their own goddamn country. And the mayor of New York is complaining about it. He used to brag that we're a sanctuary city. By the way, sanctuary city invented by Republicans during the 80s because we were screwing up Nicaragua and El Salvador. We're trying to overthrow all those governments. We wanted to let those people come here. But that's another story. And Eric Adams out in New York is like, why don't you send, you got all this money to send to Ukraine. Why don't you send money to our cities in America? We could use it. And people right. know this, by the way. When I go up in comedy clubs in Los Angeles, people don't know I'm coming. So it's just a regular cross-section of people. And when I say this, people stand up and cheer. People know what's going on, but it's not reflected back in their media. Their media is never going to tell them that their government is letting them down. They're just going to tell you that Donald Trump's a fascist and he's the problem. Well, people are living. We've lived through fascism. It was called COVID. 41% of black businesses got wiped out during COVID and their lockdown, which had no scientific basis whatsoever. People were thousands of tens, hundreds of thousands, 70,000 workers in one state alone, healthcare workers, got fired from their jobs because they wouldn't take an experimental medical treatment called an mRNA vaccine, which never was used successfully in animals or human beings up to that point. And now it certainly wasn't used successfully during COVID because everybody got COVID. Mm-hmm. So is that how vaccines work? Now, they had to rewrite the that's another thing people don't know, that they had to rewrite the definition of what a vaccine is so that they could call this mRNA gene therapy a vaccine. It's not. Vaccines, I thought, you take a vaccine so you don't get sick from the virus that you're being vaccinated against.
Right.
Now they change it and they say, no, it's just supposed to lessen your symptoms. Can you imagine if we all took the polio vaccine and in the same year we all got polio? And then someone's like, oh, no, it's, you're supposed to get polio, but it's just supposed to lessen it. You're still going to get paralyzed in one side of your body. So but that's the world we're living in now. And people accept it. And they also accept that stupid thing where they tell you, don't do your own research and trust science. You're not supposed to trust science. If you're supposed to question science. That's how science works. If you can't question it, it's not science. It's called a religion. And that's what people on the left in America have done today. They've elevated science to be an unquestionable religion. Those people are all fucking liars, and scientists are up for sale, just like everybody else is up. Just like politicians are up for sale and celebrities are up for sale. So are scientists. They'll say whatever the funding wants them to say. And that's why they lied about ivermectin. That's why they lied about hydroxychloroquine. So that's why they lied and said that the vaccine is going to stop you from getting COVID. They lied. They said it over and over and over when they knew the data had already shown them that it didn't stop transmission. It didn't stop contraction. And that was a lie. So how do you justify mandating someone take that treatment if it doesn't stop transmission or contraction? The fact is you can't. That's why they had to lie to you. They lied to you about masks. They lied to you about herd immunity. They lied to you about natural immunity. They lied to you about contraction. They lied to you about transmission. They lied to you about where the virus came from. The virus didn't come from an animal. The virus came from the Wuhan lab, which was funded by the U.S. government, which the DARPA, which is their bioweapons program. That's what funded that. Fauci knew it. He lied to Congress twice about it. He'll never be indicted. He'll never be prosecuted for it because he was lying at the behest of the establishment. And when you lie at the behest of the establishment, there's no one there to prosecute you. But if you tell the truth that the establishment doesn't want to hear, they then put you in the Belmarsh prison and they try to torture you, which is what they've been doing to Julian Assange. He's not in prison for lying. He's in prison for telling the truth about our war crimes. And a lot of people think he's in prison for hacking into the DNC server. That's not why. First of all, nobody hacked into the DNC server. The DNC server was downloaded by Seth Rich. That's how that happened. And you know how I know that happened? Because I had Bill Binney, the top codebreaker from the NSA, who the FBI also tried to throw in prison. He's a top codebreaker for the NSA for decades. He came on my show and he showed forensically that DNC server could not have been hacked. It had to be downloaded. So I knew that immediately. And now the FBI lied and they said they didn't have Seth Rich's laptop. And then they said, okay, we do have the laptop. We can't get the data. Then they said, yeah, we can get the data, but we're not releasing the data from Seth Rich's laptop for 65 years. And I was like, what, did Seth Rich kill Kennedy? Why wouldn't they allow? So we know what's going on. This is the same game over and over. Americans are the most propagandized people in the world, and they don't know it. That's the thing. The one thing people that were listening to this need to know is that when you read the Washington Post, New York Times, when you turn on ABC, NBC, Fox, CNN, you are not getting the news. You are getting propaganda there to manufacture your consent for whatever the agenda of the billionaire class is that owns them.
That's a lot to take in, but I can see one of the things that I stopped doing a long time ago was ever watching any news outlet or anything. I watch you, I watch PBD, and sometimes I watch Tucker, and that's the only places I even go. Because you question everything that you read, but people don't understand and they don't know all around. But more and more people are starting to get it. I want to ask you this.
Can I just say this about Tucker Carlson? That's another great example. Now, I used to make fun of Tucker Carlson on my show all the time. And then all of a sudden, they took away all his advertisers. Do you remember that? That's how they tried to get rid of people. People on the left, they would boycott and say, you're a racist, that you're this. And that's how they got rid of Glenn Beck. Remember that? He got fired. He was on CNN. Everybody loved him, and he went to Fox, and then they hated him, and then they got rid of his advertisers. And so Well, they did the same thing to Tucker Carlson, except Tucker Carlson was so popular that his show still made money because cable companies have to pay a network by the amount of eyeballs that get on a show. So he had so many people watching his show that cable companies had to give Fox News so much money that it still made his show profitable. And what it also did was it freed him up. I asked him when I met him, I go, hey, why are you allowed to tell the truth about the Syrian war? So I was the first one on YouTube that was onto the Syrian war was a hoax and the gas. And so was, and then Tucker came along and he started to tell the truth about it. Yeah. And I asked him when I met him, I go, why are you allowed to tell the truth? And I go, aren't your advertisers going to pull their advertising? He goes, they already did pull my advertising. So what they actually did was they freed up Tucker Carlson to start telling truths that you're not supposed to tell on national news television, corporate news. And so he told the truth about war, Syrian war. You're not supposed to do that. Then he told the truth about the Ukraine war. You're not supposed to do that. He told the truth about COVID. And then he brought on RFK Jr. to tell the truth about vaccines and big pharma. And he was fired the next day. So he got fired for telling the truth. So Tucker Carlson turned over a new leaf, became the best newsman, not only the most popular, but the best newsman. He's still the best newsman right now. If you look at corporate news, he's outdoing all of them. None of them will tell you the truth about Ukraine, including Jon Stewart. None of them will tell you the truth about COVID, including Jon Stewart. None of them will tell you the truth about Syria or anything that's happening, or Russia, including Jon Stewart. So that's the reason why Jon Stewart has a job, is because he's a good boy. Same thing with Stephen Colbert, all of them. And that's why they have, that's why the establishment, there's only six media companies in the whole country. And that's why he'll always have a job with one of the six media companies, because John's a good boy and he'll never tell you the truth about Jon Stewart. Literally pinned a medal on a Nazi at Disney World, Nazi, a bona fide Nazi. Right. And now, I wanted to say that about Tucker Carlson. Tucker Carlson didn't get fired for lying, just like Julian Assange isn't being in prison for lying. They got fired. You get in trouble for telling the truth. If you lie, like Rachel Maddow did at the top of her lungs about Russiagate, and you push an unhinged conspiracy theory that the president of the United States is now working for a foreign government against his own people. If you push that lie, that conspiracy, you get rewarded with a $35 million a year contract, which is what Rachel Maddow makes. She gets paid. You know how much money that is? That's $100,000 a day. That's how much Rachel Maddow gets paid, $100,000 a day, to lie to you. Why? You think defense contractors and banks would fucking give her that kind of a money if she was telling the truth to the American people about what's happening? Of course, that's their number one propagandist. That's why she gets paid. Anderson Cooper gets paid $12 million a year. $9 million of that comes from Big Pharma. Now, they've written fake debunking articles about that. They'll go, oh, no, that's not true. He's not being secretly paid by Big Pharma. Nobody ever said he was being secretly paid. Everybody, what we said was that Big Pharma sponsors CNN. Right. And they sponsor it to the tune of tens of millions of dollars. And that money goes right into Anderson Cooper's pocket. Nobody said it was a secret. Nobody said it was some secret cash payout. Everybody said that's where their money comes from. Their money comes from Big Pharma on cable news. And that's who's paying Anderson Cooper's salary. So they write these fake these fact checkers. So if you see somebody say they're a fact checking organization like Snopes, by the way, the guy who ran Snopes had to resign because he got caught being a serial plagiarist. So these people are all controlled and bought, and they're all being funded by Bill Gates or some other billionaire. So if the factcheck.org, just because you put fact in your name doesn't mean you are about facts. It means you're just another propagandist organization. And so that be very, very careful when you see somebody call themselves a fact checker. That is a made up term. It's not true. And I'm sorry. I keep interrupting you. Go ahead.
No, you're fine. And one of the things that pisses me off the most is that blatant insult of intelligence. And when you said they changed definitions, they also changed the definition of recession to fit what they wanted. And you just can't go around changing fucking definitions here and there, which they continuously do. But what I've heard you talk about, and the thing that probably bothers me more than anything, is the division amongst people that they've caused and how they've done it. When did you notice that started? And do you foresee that stopping at any point, or are they just going to continue to push it never ending? And what do you think is the reasoning?
Occupy Wall Street happened, and it scared the hell out of the establishment, because that was people from the left and the right. I don't know if you remember, but that was when the Tea Party was screaming their head off. And then you had Occupy Wall Street screaming their head off. So everybody was upset at the establishment. And so the establishment got their plan was to then have their news media report every news story in a way that made you as suspicious and angry at your neighbor instead of the establishment that was causing the pain on you. Look what they did during COVID. they didn't. You're not mad at the government for funding the virus that got released that did this, this bioweapon. They want you to be angry at your neighbor because they wouldn't take a vaccine that's not even a vaccine that didn't work the way they said it did in the first fucking place. They want you to be angry at someone that for not taking an experimental gene therapy that wouldn't stop the transmission or contraction of the virus anyway.
Right.
So that's how they. So it started with Occupy Wall Street, and if you notice, they've done studies about this now. Of course, you're not going to see these on the news, right? But the studies that have done is the after the United States elected a black guy for president twice overwhelmingly, they then started printing all this stuff about racism and whites, the mentions of white supremacy and racism and Nazis skyrocketed in the corporate press. Why? To scare you that you have to be afraid of your neighbor instead of afraid of the establishment. And that divides people. And that's exactly what they did during COVID. So the perfect example of that is Kyle Rittenhouse, right? Now, I hated Kyle Rittenhouse because the corporate media told me he was a white supremacist who didn't even live in that community. He traveled across state lines with guns to shoot three black people at a Black Lives Matter rally. And I hated that guy. And then I watched the trial and it turns out he did live in that community. He was a lifeguard in that community. He was asked to protect a car dealership that was owned by immigrants of color because the cops wouldn't. And he didn't travel across state lines with guns and he didn't shoot three black people. He shot three white people. And that's a pretty remedial white supremacist, don't you think, if he shoots three white people? Right. I bet he took a lot of shit back at the meeting. But so that's when you read. So that's how every story, no matter if it's climate change or Black Lives Matter or vaccines or COVID or lockdown or whatever it is, they're going to report it in a way that makes you hate your neighbor instead. So you are distracted from the horrific conditions being implemented and forced on you by the establishment. That's exactly what this is all about. And you talked about how they also count the unemployment. They do not count unemployment the way they counted it in the 80s. They have completely changed the way they count unemployment. So now you can get a 3.2% unemployment rate when the real unemployment rate is probably somewhere between 10 and 15%.
Yes. Yes. And that's one of the things that they are doing because all of those jobs were fucking lost and depleted in the first place. So they all disappeared anyway. And everything that they do is like a twist on the actual facts. I want to ask you this while I've got you, because this pisses me off more than anything too. When I have to listen to people say that fucking Biden looks sharp, can you explain to me in any way how he is sharp in any circumstance whatsoever? So and anybody that says that to me is a fucking just clown.
He's about that. So that the memo went out a couple of weeks ago. You've seen it now. And it's ubiquitous on cable news and in cable corporate publications that it's Trump is the one who is not the same as he was a few years ago. And that Trump is only a few years younger than Joe Biden. And Trump can't find his words right and all this stuff. They told you to ignore the evidence of your eyes and ears. It was the party's final and most essential command. And that is what is happening right now. So now the memo went out that you have to tell people that Joe Biden is sharp and focused. Joe Biden is about as focused as a Bigfoot video.
Oh, my gosh. So I know that you don't have a lot of time. I just want your final thought on how do you... Because I have a big concern about how the election's going to play out. I don't trust polls. I don't trust data. I don't trust anything. How do you see this? Do you think that Biden will actually run? And what do you think and believe the final outcome is going to be?
Well, I think they're going to rig the election. And that's what I think is going to happen. And if you think the same people who would gladly kill a million people in Iraq wouldn't rig an election, you're a chump. And they're the same people who, if you believe Building 7 on 9/11 fell down into its own, literally imploded into its own footprint, which has never happened from a fire because a plane hit another building hundreds of yards away, I've got a vaccine I'd like to sell you. So the same people who lied to you about every war, lied to you about Vietnam, Iraq twice, Libya, Afghanistan for 20 years, and killed millions and millions. America is the world's terrorists. It's not Russia. It's not Al-Qaeda. It's not Hamas. It's the United States. The United States has set the Middle East on fire. And we're the ones who are causing all this illegal immigration by putting economic sanctions on places like Venezuela. So people don't know Trump put economic sanctions on Venezuela, which what is the point of an economic sanction? That's an act of war, by the way.
Right.
And what it is there is to crush their economy, to make the people so desperate that they overthrow their government and then America install a puppet. They tried to do that with Juan Guaido. They tried to have a CIA instituted coup. They tried to install Juan Guaido. It didn't work. The people of Venezuela didn't fall for it. But 7 million people from Venezuela did leave the country because the economic conditions are so bad because of our sanctions. And they, where do you think they went? You think they went to Aruba? They came to the United States, which Joe Biden just admitted they have flown in 350,000 illegal immigrants into the United States, and they don't have to be documented. So why do you think they're doing that? They're doing that to suppress wages in the United States, to cause chaos, to make poor people in America pitted against even poorer people so that we are angry at each other instead of angry at them and we're distracted. Also, they can't meet their recruiting goals for the military in the United States anymore. So now they're offering illegal immigrants to join the military and they'll give them citizenship. You know, that's how Rome fell. When you fill your military with people who aren't loyal to your own country, that's exactly what happened. And that's exactly what we're doing. So that's the third thing. A fourth thing is, did you know that they can count illegal immigrants on the census? So what is that? So what, Jimmy? Well, that's how they use to apportion your congressional districts and your electoral college votes. So if they send them to so this is what's going on right now. And it's also to create chaos. It's meant, if you're on edge, it's meant to keep you on edge. So when you, as Tucker Carlson talked about when he came on my show, so when you go to the 7-Eleven, you got to step over a homeless guy. When you get inside, everything's behind locked gates. You can't even get anything without a attendant coming over to open it up. And then when you leave, you got a crackhead who's probably mentally ill and on meth or fentanyl coming at you. And so you got to run to your car. So you beg for authoritarian solutions to these problems. That's the hope. So there's a big nefarious game being played on America and the West. It's not only in the United States. It's happening in Ireland. It's happening in Germany, France, UK. This is the WEF's wet dream. And to flood countries with immigrants, illegal and legal, and to dilute your culture, and to make people angry at each other instead of angry at the billionaire class that's actually doing everything to them. And another thing is to don't fall for the central banking digital currency. So the CBDC. So like what they did to the truckers in Canada. The truckers, by the way, were vaccinated at a higher rate than the general population. They weren't protesting medicine. They were protesting bullshit authoritarianism. And it turns out the Supreme Court in Canada just ruled in their favor and said that they were right. And that when Justin Trudeau invoked the Emergency Powers Act, he did that unconstitutionally.
Yeah.
And that, so what did they do? They then locked down their finances. So anybody who was protesting peacefully, by the way, against the government's policies, they took away their ability to pay their bills, which means you can't travel, you can't put gas in your car, you can't pay your rent, you can't pay your heating bill. That's how they control people. That's the next thing. And all they have to do is call you a terrorist. And there's new bills in Congress in the United States that if they say you're spreading misinformation online, And by the way, we all know the people who spread misinformation. The biggest misinformation spreader is the government. Second is the corporate news. And third are randos on social media. But now they want to be able to shut you down. So if they say you're spreading misinformation on social media, they call you a cyber terrorist, then they can shut down your bank account. And it's all over. They already got a kill switch on your car. They can make a concentration camp anywhere you live. And your car can be a concentration camp. Your home can be a concentration camp. You're locked up because they have shut you down and you are powerless to do anything about it, which is why, by the way, I'm putting my money in gold coins.
Smart. And I just want to say this, too, because I don't think people live in reality. There, since the beginning of time, every major power has fallen at some point. So I don't want, I feel like we live under this like umbrella thought that couldn't happen here too. Like we're just immune to that and the way that we're going. And that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So I just want.
It already happened in the United States. They already fired workers for not going. So if you want, if fascism, Benito Mussolini said fascism is the joining of the state with corporations to work in the interest of the corporation against the people. And that's exactly what we're living in. That's exactly what COVID was. So that wasn't to make sure that you were healthy. They didn't fire 70,000 healthcare workers in New York State, 70,000 healthcare workers alone, who were months earlier being called heroes for working with COVID people. Then they kicked them to the dustbin, into the curb, because they were deplorables because they wouldn't. So when the healthcare workers don't want to go along with an experimental medical treatment, isn't that like the kitchen help not wanting to eat the food? Because so that should have been the canary in the coal mine for us. But because we only have six companies that run all the media, nobody ever heard that opinion. And the people who tried to express that opinion online got censored. And now we know they got censored. And now they make you think that censorship is good for you. So half the country in the United States is for censorship. Freedom of speech is the bedrock of liberty and freedom. And they and half the country is ready to get rid of at least half the country.
I know. And when you called on me at your show, and because I had raised my hand about not being vaccinated, and you asked me why. And I had said, because I work in the fitness industry and with supplements, and people fire back at me when I don't have 10 to 15 years of data on supplements and things that come out, because they say that's not enough time. Yeah. And, you know, when you call somebody an anti-something, it means they... So am I anti-ice cream if I don't like fucking Rocky Road and I like every other type of ice cream? Right. So I didn't like one vaccine, one out of however many. You're not anti-fucking anything. You just, you're using your head, right? So people don't, they follow suit and they don't listen and understand to their head and their heart. They just listen to whatever they're told. So I think the main point from you and from me here is use your fucking head. And don't let people twist things on you and really ask questions. When we were taught when we were kids, that's how you learn. Ask questions. That's why philosophers ask questions. So ask fucking questions. That's how you learn.
And if somebody tells you not to do your own research, what they're telling you is to be dumb and let someone else do your thinking for you. So all exactly. Doing your own, before COVID, doing your own research just meant you were reading. So that's right. Now they're shaming people for reading. That's how bad it's gotten, that people think they sound smart when telling people don't do your own research. Really? So all they're doing is telling you to let someone else, someone in authority, do your thinking for you, which, again, that always leads to tragedy. So make sure you do your own research. You know, if somebody gets sick, when I got sick, I had a bone disease. You have to go. I had to go to like 50 different doctors before I even got it diagnosed correctly.
Right.
So should I just go into one doctor and said, well, I'm not going to do my own research. I'm just going to follow. No, everybody who's ever been seriously ill knows you get many opinions and then it's up to you to get informed so you can decide which opinion of this expert is correct. And then you go, so and they just turned everything on their head and people went along with it. The price of liberty is eternal vigilance. And I didn't say that. I think Ben Franklin said that or somebody like that. And so that's what people forgot. And people are they so want to be in the accepted into a group that they're willing to turn on their own values. And if you don't practice your values, your value of questioning authority always, and science works on question, if you don't follow them when it gets tough and scary, then they're not values. They're just hobbies.
Right. Absolutely. I 100% agree. I could talk to you all day because I could go back and forth with you literally all day. So I just appreciate even having a few minutes to talk to you because I've been watching you for like 2 years now. And so it was a real pleasure to just get some of your thoughts in person and talk with you. And it's been enlightening. And I hope, because I have a fitness audience, we don't talk about politics. And I wanted to do this just to get people aware of what really goes on and just to open some eyes a little bit. So I know you're busy and I just want to thank you again for your time and all of your efforts, not just here, but just in general, because I know you spend a lot of time just trying to help people and educate them. I know that you're passionate about it, but there's a reason for it and it's to help people. And so from me and from I'm sure many of your followers, I just want to say thank you.
Hey, my pleasure, Dylan. Keep up the good work. Thanks for having me, buddy. And I'll see you next time. I was in Des Moines when I saw you, right?
Yep. You were. Man. Yeah. So
that fucking loud lady in the front row was so annoying.
You remember that? Me and my wife were talking about that when we got home and we're so just like, people are so fucking clueless. But I apologize for the weirdness here.
How people think that it's okay to be 2 feet away from a performer and just continuously scream at them.
Gosh,
while they're trying to tell jokes, I'm trying to use timing. I'm trying to be. It was, and I had, and I explained it to him at least four or five times. You're fucking up the show. Would you shut up? And they were drunk. They couldn't help themselves.
They were more than patient and polite. I was shocked at how patient you were because I couldn't have done that. It was funny, man. But
that the club didn't have a bouncer to come and take them out of there. That's what is a real shocking thing. Like nobody's in the fucking room to watch this happen.
I know. I just want to tell everybody where to follow you. I'm sure that most people already do, but Jimmy Dore Show, YouTube, Rumble.
JimmyDore.com. Go to JimmyDore.com. Yeah. That'd be great.
And follow on YouTube. The show is great. There's clips every single day, so make sure to follow. Jimmy, again, I thank you for your time and all of your efforts. And everybody, stay tuned for plenty more to come. Dylan Jamelli and Jimmy Dore signing off.
All right, Dylan. Thanks, buddy.